DW.
Here we are at the estuary of the River Sieg, and in this area two things come together which are vital for bat populations. This is food. There's insects the bats can hunt on, and there are roosting opportunities with all the woodpecker cavities in the trees.
The mouth of the Sieg River in Germany is a traditional stopover for migratory bats. Every spring and autumn, they stay here for nearly a month before they continue on their way in search of more abundant food sources in warmer locations. A warning sign appears on the way into the forest. Caution, beware of breaking branches. Bats in residence. Martin Koch is a researcher at the University of Trier. At the moment, he comes here almost twice a week to count migratory bats and to put a ring on them if they don't already have one.
They have very long migration distances, like 1,500 kilometers. They can't migrate the whole distance in one night, so they need stopover sites. And usually these stopover sites are very traditional, so it's important to identify this key habitats for migrating bats, to keep a network of suitable habitats in Europe so the bats can actually really pass through all the countries in Europe.
Migratory bats in this part of the world fly north in spring. Some only fly to the northern parts of Germany, others make their way to Estonia and other Baltic countries. In autumn they move south, as far as southern France.
They are true European animals.
When it comes to the bat population in Germany, there is far too little data. It's impossible to say whether the population is remaining stable, decreasing, or even increasing. One method of monitoring is to look into bat boxes. These are small, dark, wooden boxes with little chinks attached to the top of a tree trunk. In the Sieg estuary, about 200 of them have already been installed. The aim is to make up for the lack of dead wood and give the bats the opportunity to roost. Koch climbs up a ladder to look into one of the boxes. And yes, there are indeed bats inside. He comes down with six little bats, safely stored in a can. Most of them are hiding under the lid. Their day hasn't started yet. One by one, Koch takes the fluffy little creatures out and holds them in his hand. You can see their tiny teeth as they screech.
So now we have a protocol we follow to take several measurements of the bat. So we take the weight, we take the forearm length, and see if it's a juvenile or an adult bat.
Another method is setting up nets. It's now dark and we're standing on a small wooden bridge within the forest. Martin Koch and Talia Jenke, who is a research assistant at the Bat Banding Center in Bonn, now stretch out a net above the bridge together.
This is actually a good place to catch bats here. It's a narrow path through where the bats have to fly by, and we can cover the complete gap here between the trees with one net. So this is our opportunity to catch the bats.
If a bat flies into the net, they carefully grab it and put it into a box to measure it later on, one by one. Counting bats is a laborious task. Researchers get the bats from bat banding centers. There are only two places in Germany where you can get those bats, one in Bonn and another one in Dresden.
Banding is a very good and easy way to collect data over several years. So we have often recoveries from maybe 20, 12 years before.
In Germany, bat banding has a long history. The sociologist Martin Eisentraut started banding bats in Berlin in 1932. Later, he became the director of the famous Natural History Museum König in Bonn. So he brought bat banding with him to Bonn in the 1960s. Although the method has been around for a long time, there's still far too little data on bats.
We have regions in Germany where a lot of people go out and band bats and do research on bats. And on the other hand, there are regions where no research on bats is done and where no data are collected. Yeah, and this is sometimes a bit problematic because we don't know if there are no bats or if there are no data about bats in those regions.
But collecting data on bats is getting more and more important. Koch explains why.
Bats might be affected by so many political decision-making in terms of wind energy development, in terms of forestry, in terms of agriculture and the use of pesticides and the reduction of available food insects for the bats. So it is actually important to measure what is going on in the environment, and bats are actually a very good indicator for habitat health.
One of the biggest problems for bats in flight is colliding with wind turbines. Koch proposes adjusting the operating patterns of the turbines to match the bats' migration routine.
When you actually stop the windmills, when the migrating bats come passing by, then you lose about maximum 5% of economic income. But you save a lot of bats because there are up to 10 bats per year per windmill which are dying in Germany, and there are almost 30,000 windmills. So it's a huge number of bats.
Another key issue to be tackled at the political level is the controversial use of pesticides, which play a major role in the decline of insects, the main source of food for bats. More data is needed to provide scientific evidence that will convince politicians that action is needed to protect the threatened species. After all, they have a lot of benefits to the ecosystem. They eat insects which would otherwise destroy crops. Protecting the bats would provide a natural form of pest control. Then farmers would need less pesticide, which would be good news for bats and humans alike. So for Koch and Jenke, that means keep on catching, banding and counting bats to gather evidence. Tonight, we collected about 30 bats. More to come in the next few days. For DW, I'm Elina Grundmann in Bonn.
DW.